Happy Easter. You know, for centuries, pastors and priests on this weekend has stood before congregations and said, Christ is risen, and the people would say, he is risen indeed. And so I thought we would try that today. Christ is risen.
He is risen
indeed. Wow, a little passion there. Good, good. Friends, the stone's been rolled away. The tomb is empty. He is not there. Christ is risen. Can you feel it? I mean, do you believe that? Can you see it? You know, today we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, the Prince of Peace, the risen one. And so we're starting this series. We're focusing on a question that I believe Jesus is asking all of us. Can you see me now? Can you see me now? And what I want to do is help you and help me to be able to see God at work in your life as I've seen him work in mine. And so today we're going to look at a story about two guys that they see something, but they really can't see it. You know, do you know what I'm talking about? You know, when you see something, but you really don't see it. In fact, can I get a volunteer to come up here? Yeah. All right, Tanner, why don't you come up? Come up. I play ball with Tanner, so I know he can make the steps. Yeah, he's actually a good ball player. So you can just face me. Just stay facing me. And I need the congregation. Do not say anything. Do not give a peep, okay? And what do you see here, Tanner?
Einstein.
He's pretty good looking, isn't he? All right, let's see. What do you guys see? You see Einstein down front here. You see Marilyn Monroe. Thanks, Tanner. Give him a hand for coming up and helping me. Hey, Tanner, pass that around. You can just send it down the row so they know. That wasn't a sleight of hand, but I think it exhibits and kind of shows what happened in our story. So you got these two guys, and they saw Jesus. But they didn't really see him. They didn't see who he was. You know, scripture says this. It says on the same day, it's talking about the day that Jesus Christ walked out of the grave, that first Easter. It says on that same day, two of Jesus' followers. Now, we're going to find out that one of them is Cleophas, and the other one, we're not sure at this point in the story, but it says Jesus' followers were going to a village named Emmaus. And they're about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were talking to each other about all the things that had happened. So you got these two guys, they're traveling. They're not just chatting, you know, they're not talking about the economy or the weather or, you know, the NCAA tournament or anything. Their conversation is much more intense. In fact, they're talking about what had happened a few days before. For centuries, there had been stories. There had been prophecies. There had been rumors. And some believed that someday that God was going to send a Messiah. These two followers are talking about that. They're talking about what their parents had talked about, what their grandparents had talked about, what their great-grandparents had talked about. That one day God was going to send a Messiah to save the world. And so it was something that they had been hoping for, they had been expecting, and they had been praying for. These guys are on the road, and they meet Jesus. You know, Jesus was a guy that they had met earlier. That was unlike anyone that they had ever encountered before. I mean, he spoke in ways that it had been captivating to them. They had seen him perform miracles. So these two guys started following Jesus. And they started to believe that just maybe this could be the one. Perhaps this is the Messiah. 3 days prior, these guys had seen Jesus crucified to a cross. And when they saw Jesus die on the cross, I think their dreams died with them. This isn't going the way we thought it would. This wasn't supposed to happen. Everything's coming apart now. And friends, I think that's where some of you are today. I mean, you had an idea. You had an idea where you thought you would be at this point in your life. But the reality, you're not even close to it. You know, one day you wake up and you go, this isn't what I signed up for. This wasn't my plan. This wasn't what I saw for myself. Some of you came out of college. You had all these dreams. But you took that job because you needed the money. And so now, 20 years later, still working the job. A job that, if the truth were known, you hate. You know, some of you thought everything was great. And then you came home one day and found out mom and dad are calling it quits. You know, maybe your marriage blew apart. Maybe the job fell through. Maybe the finances have tanked. Maybe the kids have spun out. I mean, what do you do in that moment? How do you pick up all the pieces when suddenly you go, what do I do now? I'm a single parent. What do I do? I'm unemployed. What do I do now? One of my parents is very ill. You know, what do I do when things aren't turning out like I thought they would? It's kind of where these two guys are. I mean, these two guys, we had all of our hopes in Jesus. We thought he was the one. And they see him die on the cross and their dreams shattered. So we got these two travelers. They're walking, they're talking. Scripture says, and they talked and discussed. As they talked and discussed, Jesus himself drew near and walked along with them. They saw him, but somehow did not recognize him. So you get the picture here? Two guys walking on the road. They're really upset about all the things that have happened in the last few days. And Jesus joins them. And I think it's a beautiful picture. They see him. They know there's someone with them. But they don't recognize him. I mean, why don't they recognize him? I don't know. I mean, maybe God wanted to teach him something first. Maybe their vision was clouded. And so God was going to surprise them later. You know, maybe God was saying, you want to know the truth? You can't handle the truth. Maybe their grief kept them from seeing. We really don't know. I mean, I don't know why, but these guys are with Jesus. They see him, but they don't recognize him. Has that ever happened to you? That thing that you're looking for, it's right next to you. It's right in front of you, but you can't see it. I remember about 20 years ago, I wanted a pair of sunglasses, new sunglasses. And I looked for sunglasses for months and months, because here was the problem. I wanted a $200 pair of sunglasses, but I wanted to pay $40, maybe $50. Money was tight. I'm still that way. But I finally found a pair. And I think I ended up giving like $70-$75 for them. I still wear them. They're still my main pair of sunglasses, so I figure it was a pretty good investment. But anyway, I hadn't had these very long. And one day I'm heading out to the car, and I'm carrying a bunch of stuff. And I got in the car, got ready to go. And I thought, where are my sunglasses at? I just had them. Where are they? And so I started tracking back. Do you ever do that when you lose something? you know, retracing my steps. And then I started kind of second guessing myself. I'm like, I had him a few minutes ago, didn't I? Maybe I left him at the store yesterday. And I'm not sure. No, I had him. I'm sure I had him. And I started looking everywhere. And I think I blame my kids. They're here today. They could testify to it. I blame the cat, you know. I did not blame Cindy, okay? I didn't want her to know I'd lost him. So I'm frantic. I mean, I'm looking, and I'm thinking, oh, no, I'm going to have to return to my old lime green free McDonald's glasses, you know. You guys remember those? They were orange and green. And the ones I had, they were the lime green. It was kind of like Kermit the Frog meets the Blues Brothers, you know. But I'm searching. I mean, I searched for at least a half hour. And I'm getting pretty worked up. And finally, I returned to the car, and I just sat down, and I was angry, a little disappointed, and I was very frustrated. And I reach up to start the car, and I hear this clank. And there was my sunglasses on the console. See, I had tucked them under my arm to carry stuff. Don't ask me why. That's what I did. So the whole time I'm searching, I mean, I'm like, but I'm keeping them with me. They were with me the whole time. You're all thinking, oh, they were on his head and he didn't see them. But no, they were under my arm where everybody keeps their glasses. But yeah. They were with me. I'm clueless. They see Jesus. Jesus is with them. They're walking with him. And they do not recognize him. Scripture says that Jesus jumps in the conversation. Hey, what are you guys talking about? And these guys, they're walking along. They're upset. And Jesus goes, what are you talking about? And they just stop. It was really probably a very sober moment. It says one of them, named Cleophas, asked him, are you the only visitor in Jerusalem who doesn't know the things that have been happening these last few days? Dude, are you clueless? You know, where have you been? Do you not watch the news? What have you been doing, hiding out in a cave or something? And you wonder what Jesus was thinking at that moment. I mean, you wonder if Jesus is in that moment, he's thinking, okay, guys, technically, last 3 days, I have been in a cave, kind of. We're not sure what Jesus was thinking. Jesus is risen from the dead. Jesus is with them. They do not realize it. You know, you kind of expect Jesus to say something like, guys, it's me. I'm back. You know, remember what the Old Testament prophets, they prophesied about me. I told you I was going to suffer and die. I told you that I would walk out of the grave in 3 days. I told you that I was coming back to life. I came to this world, promised Savior. Guys, it was really difficult. It was really difficult that night in the garden. I realized that I was going to be tortured. I realized the pain and the humiliation. That's why I prayed in the garden, not my will, but your will, God. I mean, I prayed that God would give me the strength to see it through. And I did see it through. I mean, every step I kept reminding myself that God was with me. Every step, I was reminding myself that it had an eternal purpose. I mean, when they arrested me and they mocked me and they brutalized me, when they were beating me, and I mean, they beat me so bad that I wasn't even recognizable. I didn't give up, guys. I didn't waver. In fact, I knew with each stripe on my back, I was healing the world. I was saving you. I knew it would all bring God glory. I mean, when they drove those nails into my hands and feet, when they lifted me up on that cross, man, I could hardly breathe. And the evil one, oh, he started whispering in my ear, why don't you call down a legion of angels? They could rescue you. They could destroy the people around you. But I didn't do it. I stayed the course. The whole world went dark as I was hanging there. The whole world went dark as I was taking on the sins of the world. It was almost unbearable. There was a point where my father, he couldn't even look at me anymore because I became sin. I thought God had abandoned me. I thought my father had left me. That's why I cried out, why have you forsaken me, God? I wanted to die. In fact, death couldn't come quick enough. When I took my last breath, I just cried out, it's finished. And even nature responded to my death. I mean, the earth shook. And when they took me down off that cross, they put me in that grave. When everybody was wondering, hurting, waiting, praying, I was fighting Satan. I was taking keys from him. Took the keys of hell, the keys of death. Because I'm risen, hell's been defeated. Because I'm risen, we now have access to God, all of us. We're forgiven. Because I'm risen, sin no longer has power in your life. Guys, I'm with you right now. You don't realize it, do you? But you will. See, I think these two guys are like us. They're down. They're hurting. They're sad. They're devastated. And they're alone. And they're afraid. And the life-changing truth, it's right there next to them. And they absolutely did not realize it. So they're talking. Don't you know the things that have happened? Jesus says, what things? The things that happened to Jesus of Nazareth, they answered. That this man was a prophet. He was considered by God and by all the people to be powerful in everything he said and did. I mean, when Jesus spoke, he captivated us. He captivated our hearts and our minds. It was like when he was speaking, it was like we were eating living bread. You know, it changed our life. When Jesus showed up, blind eyes were open. The deaf, they could hear again. Water was turned to wine. We saw people that were dead come back to life. I mean, this Jesus, he was powerful. Everything he said, everything he did. It says, our chief priests and rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and he was crucified. And we had hoped that he would be the one who was going to set Israel free. Besides all that, this is now the third day since it happened. We had hoped that we would be free because of him. We had hoped he was the Messiah. We had hoped, but our dreams have been shattered. I mean, we had hoped, but it's the third day. Obviously, what we had hoped for, it's not going to happen. Friends, I have been there. In my life, many, many, many times. Something I thought would happen doesn't happen. something I was sure of. It didn't happen. Friend, at some point you got to wake up and realize that it's just not going to happen. I mean, that's what happens in our life sometimes, doesn't it? Some of you are there today. Something you had hoped for. It didn't happen. Suddenly you realize it's not going to happen in your life. You'd hoped that you would have a baby, but you can't conceive. You had hoped that you'd be celebrating your anniversary, but instead you're dividing stuff up and fighting over the kids. You know, you had hoped that you were going to retire. And then you watch all the finances just vanish. You'd hoped you'd be enjoying life right now. But instead, you're battling something, battling a threatening disease in your life. We had hoped. That's where these guys are. They want to believe that Jesus is the Messiah. They want to believe. They're struggling with hope. I mean, I think we can all identify with that, where you just struggle. They said some of the women of our group surprised us. They went out at dawn to the tomb. They're talking about Jesus' tomb. But they could not find his body. They came back saying that they had seen a vision of angels who told them that he's alive. Apparently some women ran out. They found the tomb. They found it empty. The angels tell them, Jesus is not here, he's alive. They come back and they told us. And so these guys race. And it says some of our group went to the tomb and found it exactly as the women had said. But they did not see him. These two guys, we know one of them's Cleophas. This verse gives us a hint here who the other guy is. See, the other guy, probably one of the 12 disciples. You know, thanks to other gospel accounts, if you read this story, we know that Mary Magdalene, and Salome were the women that came to the tomb. They were the ones that went first to the tomb. They come back. They tell some of the disciples. And what we know from other scriptures is Peter and John and a few other disciples go to the tomb. One of the guys that's on the road is probably one of them. See, they came to the tomb. They wanted to verify what the women had told them. They find it empty. Jesus is risen. He's walking right next to him, and they don't even realize it. That's how God works. That's how God works many times in our lives. I mean, he's right by us, but we don't see him. You know, I had the privilege this week, I did an interview with Malcolm Milliman. And Malcolm has been a part of this church for a long time. He's part of the Faith Fellowship family. Many of you know him. Some of you know his story. Many of you prayed for him a while back. And just watch, I'll let him tell his story.
A lot of people don't know that I was in prison, and I've done a lot of bad things in my life. And one day I woke up, and I said, God, I just can't do this no more. I can't live like this. And you got to help me. You got to help me change. I said, Kelly, man, I can't do this no more. I don't want to live like this no more. And I need you to help me. Change. I need you to help me find what God's got for me. He asked me if he says, Malcolm, do you want to give your life to Jesus right now? I told him, yeah, Kelly, I do. So he said, let's go over here and pray. I said, God, right now, say this prayer with me. And we said the prayer, I committed myself to Jesus right then. I get out, and I'm doing real good, and then I find myself slipping, and then slipping here again, slipping there again, and doing things I shouldn't be doing, being places I shouldn't be, And I know God's telling me, Malcolm, you can't do this. You can't be doing this. You can't go this direction again. I love you. And, you know, all along I'm steady praying for him to put somebody in my life, somebody to you know, be my wife, my companion, lover. I don't know what I was praying for, but I wanted somebody in my life. You know, I'm steady slipping and doing the wrong thing and doing the wrong thing and doing the wrong thing. And one day, I find myself on fire. And I can't put it out. And I can see my hands melting. It's melt like wax. And I see the flame coming up over my shoulder. I'm rolled around trying to put myself out. I'm doing this. I can't put myself out. I got this. I can't put myself out. And I fall to my knees. I say, God, help me. And right then, I see him standing there. He's got his hands open wide. He says, Malcolm, I've been here all along. And right then, I get it. He's the one I need in my life. He's the one that I'm supposed to be wanting. Nobody else. I don't need anybody else. And he says, Malcolm, I've been here all alone. And I can feel the devil over here going, laughing, cackling. I got you now, Malcolm. I got you now. And Lord looks at me. It looks up and he says, no, not done with this one yet. You know, God's been in my life for a long time, and he's done a lot of things for me for a long time. And each time he does that, he disciplines me or punishes me, however you want to put it. I know now that I've got, it was caught on fire. Now that I've been through the fire, I actually do see the things that he wants me to see. Before, I'd see them, but I didn't realize that that's God put that there. I didn't realize that. Now I see that what he wants me to see. I see that God has put these people, put these angels, put these things, have done these things, or let me go through these things so I would see him better.
Yay, God. Yay, God. Thank you, Malcolm. Thank you for sharing your story. And did my heart good. Did my heart good. Friends, some of you, you're going through stuff, and you can't see God. He's with you. You can't see him, but he's with you. You know, Scripture says that he will never leave or forsake you. He's with you. You belong to him. He loves you. He has a plan for your life. He's with you. You may not realize it right now, but someday you're going to look back and you're going to see he's been there the entire time, working, loving, comforting, helping, correcting, protecting. I mean, someday you're going to look and realize he was with you through the brokenness and through the pain and through the battles and through the struggles. Jesus, he's with these two guys. Jesus does a little bit of teaching. We're not going to go into detail today. I'd really encourage you to read the entire account. But these two guys and Jesus, they finally get to the village that they were heading toward. It's near the end of the day. Apparently, Jesus says, hey, thanks for letting me join you. been a long day, but I'm going to go find some place to get a little rest. And it says, and they held him back. The two guys, they're like, stay with us. The day's almost over and it's getting dark. So he went in and stayed with them. Don't go. Don't go. It's been a really long day. We've enjoyed talking with you. You know, you stay with us. You can get up in the morning. Fresh start. It says, Jesus sat down to eat with them. He took the bread and said the blessing. Then he broke the bread and gave it to them. So Jesus is having dinner with these guys. One of whom he had dinner right before his death. In an upper room, he had dinner with him. It was the night right before Jesus was arrested. It's a dinner where he also broke bread. Jesus broke the bread and gave it to his disciples. It was communion. It was holy communion. This supper, it's dinner. But at this dinner, Jesus also breaks the bread. It wasn't communion. They're actually eating. But friends, make no mistake about it. It was a holy moment. Then their eyes, what? Were opened, and they recognize him, but he disappears from their sight. Maybe, just maybe, as they're sharing dinner, as Jesus broke the bread, everything came together. I mean, maybe it was like you ever watch a movie, you know, a thriller or mystery or something, and near the end, they give you that one piece and then it all starts coming together. You go, why didn't I see that before? But suddenly, you understand. That's what's going on with these guys. They realize that Jesus has been with them the entire time. They start reflecting back on their day. They're going back through it, all the conversations that they'd had with Jesus on that road. They said to each other, wasn't it like a fire burning in us? When he talked to us on the road and explained the scriptures to us. See, they're going back through their day. He was with us the whole time. We didn't realize it. I mean, you ever had a moment like that? For some of you, maybe that's today. You know, when you look back, you start realizing and you start seeing him in your past. You know, when you see Jesus in your past, see, I think in that moment, then you can begin to recognize him in your present. You know, Jesus Christ is risen. And friends, I can say it with all the confidence in me because I've seen him in my life. I have seen him throughout my life. I can trace it back. I can go back and find him. You know, I can find him as early as when I was 3 years old. Little yellow school bus, church bus, used to go by our home. My family didn't go to church. And I saw it, and I knew I needed to be on that bus. And so I went to my parents, and I said, I want to go where that bus is going. And they let me go. You know, I've seen him in a couple that used to live across the street from me when I was growing up. And they made sure that I was able to go to camp. And it was that summer that I gave my life to Jesus Christ. You know, I've seen him when I shattered my femur. I missed almost an entire year of school. And God made sure that I had a Lutheran pastor as a tutor. And we talked about a lot more than school. And it was that year that I sensed God calling me to ministry. And it was back at that camp that my neighbors made sure that I went to every year that I made a commitment to ministry. It changed the whole trajectory of my life. I've seen him when I was in college and I was in the hospital and I had gangrene and blood poisoning, and the doctor said we can't keep sustaining his life. Friends, I've seen him when I took that first ministry, and it all unraveled. You know, I've seen him when I was working at the post office, a job that I hated, but he was there. You know, I've seen him when my marriage disintegrated and I went through a divorce. I have seen him in my life when it's in pieces. I have seen him when my Christian friends abandoned me and God made sure he used some of the most worldly people you can imagine to minister to me, to love me, to help me get through those days. You know, I've seen him when I wasn't sure I could keep going. In fact, I wasn't even sure I wanted to keep going. I've seen him when I've failed. I've seen him when I doubted. And friends, more time than you can imagine. I've seen him when I met my wife, Cindy, and started a process of trying to put my life back together. Pressing me, calling me, loving me, helping me find my way back to ministry. I seen him when I was serving United Methodist churches. God provided me an amazing mentor that prepared me and sharpened me. And I've seen him through the dark days right before we started Faith Fellowship. He is risen. He's risen indeed. Friends, can you see his face? Can you see him in your life? Some of you need to wake up. I mean, Jesus is with you. He's right beside you, whether you see him or not. I mean, I see him everywhere. You know why I can see him? Because I got eyes to see him. You know, some of you can't because your eyes are closed. Oh, sure, you come to church. You've heard the story of Jesus. In fact, you've been to a lot of Easters. Maybe even read your Bible from time to time. Lift a prayer once in a while. But you still can't see him in your life. Because you need new eyes. You need new eyes. Paul writes this. He says, Satan, who's the god of this world, has blinded the minds of those who don't believe. They're unable to see the glorious light of the good news. Some of you can't see him because you haven't dropped a knee to Jesus Christ. You haven't made him Savior of your life, Lord of your life. You just haven't done it. And friends, I'm not talking about cultural Christianity, some Americanized version of Christianity. You know, I know the story. I can tell a few of the Bible stories. I'm not a thief. I'm not a liar. I'm just a good person. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about radical Christianity, where you are a follower of Jesus Christ, where you make him Savior and Lord of your life. And when you do that, suddenly you can see. You can see him. See, I know today some of you are going through some tough stuff. It's tough stuff in your marriage. Some tough stuff in your home. The fact is, your family's fragile. Some of you, it's a vocational or a financial storm that everything's coming undone. Others, it's an addiction and it's destroying you and hurting the people around you. Some of you, it's a health condition. The fact is, the fear and the challenges that you're facing, it's undoing you. Some of you, it's just sin. Friends, whatever it is, doesn't really matter. I pray that you can see the tomb is empty, the Savior's risen, and he's absolutely with you. He's right beside you. See, that's the good news. That's what we celebrate today. Jesus won the victory. It's what Easter's about. Jesus is with you. And he's asking you today, can you see me now? Can you see me now? I'd ask you to stand. We're going to close in prayer. I'd ask the band to come up, and we're going to worship together. I'm going to pray for everyone. If you've got a particular need this morning, we're going to have some people down front after the music. Be glad to pray with you. Maybe today's the day you need to make Jesus Christ Lord and Savior of your life. I'd invite you to do it. Don't put it off. You know, he's with you. He cares about what's going on in your life. And he is risen. He is risen indeed. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Our holy God, we praise you today. And God, I know there are those today that as they start tracking back, they know you were there. And God, I also know there are those here today that maybe for the first time it dawned on them that you've always been with them. That you do care. And God, I know there are some that life is a challenge right now. And God, I pray that your Holy Spirit would just encourage them, that they would realize you are there, you care, that you have a plan for their life. God, we thank you for what that first Easter, what it represents, what it meant. That we are free, free indeed. And God, we give you the glory, we give you the praise, and we lift our voices this morning. Your holy name.